Hi. Hi, it's Dave. I'm a sexaholic. I'm here to share a little message regarding Yom Kippur. This year, I've got a Shabbos, sort of instead of Shabbos. And Yom Kippur's called Shabbos Shabbos. So there's a natural connection between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. You, as a Jew, working 12-step, sexaholic, powerless over using lust, I can't successfully use lust, tangent, okay. It makes me only more dependent. Trying to manipulate God, even with prayer, puts me back in that place of King David sitting on the throne. Right? I can't go down this path. I did a lot of sins, whether I'm an addict and whether I was an addict or not. The actions, you know, the disease I had is a disease. The actions I did is still action. No matter, I'm not a bad person. I'm a sick person, but my actions were sin. How do I reckon that? It's not real for so many people. It's a problem. So how do I face that? You know? I'm sober today, so it's much, much, much easier to face it sober. I'm not afraid of acting out. I'm not afraid of God. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not even afraid of my mother-in-law. You know, I'm much less afraid of my wife than I've ever been. So that helps. God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. Being afraid of God isn't your surmise. Being afraid of God. That means he's basically the end. And I can't approach God in such a fashion and to manipulate him through my will. I've been going that way before. So, what are the things that I try to focus on? I'm not in the right, in particular, in Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is kind of easy, as we talk about Malchus Shemayim. In the Kabbalah, we talk about this, and Ezra talks about it, Al talks about it. Big Tamil Chachamim, you know, big Midrash people, you know, talk about it a lot. They talk about the focus on Yom Kippur, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, is on Malchus Shemayim, not on. Give me a good year. Yeah, that's something we need to be aware of, that as the Melech, as the king of the world, God determines this. Who else should? Who else should be him? What else is he? If he's the king, then what is he the king of, if not, you know, events and conditions and stuff, you know, and people and the world, what happens, you know? I mean, that's he is, he's in charge. So it's about acceptance of God and as the king and all that. It's pretty easy to focus. Yom Kippur, it's much more tempting to start talking about ourselves. So we go back and we look at our deeds and we start clapping our chest about all the bad things I've done in the past. It brings us out of living in the present like nothing else can for some people. And the more Kabbalah things we expect to get involved with, the more it pulls us out of the present and into the past. So how do we deal with that? And how do we deal with the judgmentalism of God being judging us? You know, you know, that whole thing is just so, we try not to judge other people, you know. And all of a sudden, here he is, judging us over, you know. A couple of interesting things I just want to share with you about that. And some of them will be satisfying, I think, and helpful. Some people and some things for some people. Right? Let me try to keep this to 10 minutes. So, which will be a miracle. So, one thing is that if I were to place a one thing on Yom Kippur, it would be for me to be a better person, right? Everybody understands that. Shiva, you know, God helped me be a better person this year, right? You know, I mean, it makes sense. I want to be a better person. What's a better person, though? I look back at my first step. I look back at my fourth step. I look back at my life. I look now, not back, right now at myself, you know? And I see a person whose biggest problems are lack of faith, fear, dependency is, you know, problematic because, uh-oh, what's going to happen, you know? What's going to be? I won't get this, I won't get that. Lacking faith in God, or the ability to run my life just fine without my help. I'm a manipulative person, you know? These are the big problems, you know, and my character defects, of course. How do I interact with the events, conditions, and people? How do I interact with those things? Oh boy, I got a whole bunch of character defects now, and they're obstacles, you know. But they're my difficulties, you know. They're the obstacles. So if I'm going to ask God to help me be a better person, I don't want to waste my time or his time asking for him to make me a better person, help me be a better person, to sin less. That's not what I want to focus on. I mean, sinning less next time, you know? I'm going to do it next time, you know? I don't want that to be my focus. I've been there before too many times. What I want to be is a better person. And to me, being a better person means changing inside. What are my priorities? I want God to help me aim my priorities in the right direction. I need to have better priorities, smarter priorities, priorities that actually work instead of the goofball priorities that I have. And that's my focus, on aligning myself with the truth, with the fact, acceptance of God's will for me is aligning my priorities with the fact of what is. Who am I? Where do I live? What are the conditions in my life? Accepting those things means accepting God's will for me. Becoming at peace with what happened in the past means accepting God's will for me. That's steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Learning how to be at peace with the people around me is the conditions. People are just conditions. At least they're conditions and events. Learning how to be at peace with these conditions, these other people who are in my life, instead of having to look for a geographical solution and escaping from my family. Learning how to be at peace with my wife instead of twisting her into the wife that I need her to be. You know, it's learning how to live at peace with myself and with God's will for me. Because God's will for me is not expressed very much in commandments, but boy, is it expressed very much numerically, thousands of times more in terms of frequency in events than in like commandments and stuff like that. How many commandments are you going to come across a day? Or how many events and conditions are you going to come across a day? And those are God's will just as much. So God speaks to me much more in events and conditions in my life. And accepting God's will for me is accepting the events and conditions and events in my life. It's where I am, who I am, what I have, what I don't have, what's happening and what's not happening. Well, that's it. So if I could focus something on Yom Kippur, it would be a faith. It would be a third step. Help me use myself to you and has faith that you will build with me and do with me as you know best. Okay, to me. And if I do that, then what do I have to fear about what happens and what doesn't happen? If I've got faith. Help me learn to be a more faithful person. Ironically, one of the things that helps a person be a more faithful person makes it much, much easier to be a faithful person is taking the right actions, living honestly. The less I have to lie, the more I start to accept the truth myself. So the less I have to hide, where I start to accept the truth without having to hide from it myself. It works both ways, two-way street. Okay? So learning to live honestly, accepting the truth, leading with my weakness, and opening up to those whoever I can safely open up to without hurting them. Doing that in a safe way about what's going on in my life. If I'm unhappy with things that my children are doing, speaking to people, getting sound counsel about how to level with my kids, how to face that fact with my kids, or at least with myself. Same thing with the spouse. Same thing with people around me. People around me are doing things that are hurting me. Get help from a therapist, an advisor, a friend, a sponsor, a group. Open up about what's going on. That's part of what happens in your fourth step. That's part of what happens. Look in the 12 and 12 and step 5. That's part of what happens in that part. It's not just jettisoning character defects, letting God remove them in step 7 after I let go of them in step 6. You know? It's not just that. It's learning how to live with these facts and accepting that I have limitations and what's going on and facing up to these things instead of spending my lifetime running away, running and running and running, trying to catch up, just constantly catching up, covering my eyes and denying things, running from things, emphasizing the positive so that it drowns out the negative. That's not going to help me very much. Okay? So, Yom Kippur. Definitely. Step 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 works right into it very, very beautifully. Certainly 8, 9, and 10, asking the Sila isn't exactly necessarily what these steps are about, but it's sure similar. It's this idea of being at peace, getting those promises. How do you get those promises? Because it's very hard to have faith when I'm carrying a giant, giant knapsack full of crap on my back that stinks and is pulling me down to the ground. I need to do steps 8, 9, and 10, and 8 and 9 and live with 10 if I want to stay light on my feet. If I'm light on my feet, it's much easier to live with God and to stay focused on the truth and be okay. And, you know, I need those maintenance steps of, 10, and you learn how to do them in 8 and 9, but that's what I need, Can't live otherwise under that weight. So, to me, those are the big things I'm going to keep. And focusing on doing today's job today and tomorrow's job tomorrow instead of focusing on the past. Everything that I look back and see, oh, boy, I screwed up here, I screwed up there, I look back at it and I say, well, what does that mean about me today? I understand I'm not, driving to work now, looking at the girls. I'm not doing that now because I'm in school for the next 73 hours. But it's Yom Kippur, I understand that. But what does this say about who I am as a person? What are my priorities? Am I at peace with just being a human being? Or am I always doing? And running, and getting. Am I able to just sit quietly and be with God? What am I going to do about it if I'm not going to do that on Yom Kippur when I'm in jail for 20 hours? Seriously. Yeah? When am I going to do that if not Yom Kippur? Now, be at peace with God. That's something that I want to do a few times over Yom Kippur, if I can. You know? Today's job today. If I do today's job today, I'll do tomorrow's job tomorrow, probably. You know? But if I focus on yesterday today, I'll never get to tomorrow, because I'll practice being in yesterday over and over again. And guess what happens when I practice something? I get awful good at it. I've got to practice living in today today. Another thing is leaving God's business to God and my business to me. My business is what I do. What I choose is my business. What I work on is my business. You know, acceptance, that's my business. You know, working on what happens, that's God's business. You know, working on the repercussions of my sins, that's God's business. Trying to get more shachar, reward, that's God's business. That's not just putting the cart in front of the horse. That's yours. That's confusing. Who's the boss? Like, whose job is what? You know? So I'd rather just leave the whole five honest thing alone, put that in God's hands and trust Him, faith, and take into my hands responsibility over my actions. And that's what the program teaches me, responsibility over myself. I have to take responsibility and do stuff with this program, you know, share and work it. To me, those are great Yom Kippur foci, whatever the word is. Things to focus on. A couple of notes till this phone battery I have here cuts out. Just a couple of ideas. Self-absorption is no substitute for taking good care of myself. Think about that. Sitting around being self-absorbed, worried, and thinking, is no substitute for taking good care of myself. If I'm taking good care of myself, then I don't need to be self-absorbed. Now I can be free and focus on the things that I'm supposed to be doing, you know, instead of wrapped up in myself. It's very easy to get wrapped up in myself when I'm hungry or tired or angry or lonely. Another thing, a little self-forgetting every day is good for me and others. Question, what are some signs right now that I'm taking life seriously? That I'm taking my life seriously. I should be taking my life seriously. Maybe not every second, you know, too seriously, but I should be taking my life seriously. This is important. What are some signs right now that I'm taking my life seriously? Do I have gratitude for having a place that I can go to whenever I can, to a meeting and admit all the truth about myself? I really should. Do I create the kind of relationships that are safe for me by making them safe for the people around me? That's another good question. So those are just some things, you know. I don't want to have to wait until death to admit that happiness was a choice that I didn't take. And I have far more choices than I usually realize. Just some thoughts. I hope everybody has a great Yom Kippur, and that if we do today, then tomorrow will be just fine. And if I focus on what's going to be instead of focusing on faith, I think I'm asking for trouble. Anyway, it's so nice to be able to share with Annick, and it's so nice to be sober today. I want to take this time myself and go to sleep now. Love you. Have a good night.